1 Peter 3:7 through 12. Let's go there. 1 Peter 3:7 through 12. 1 Peter 3:7 through 12. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered. I like to throw this in a healing school, because lots of men can't get their prayers answered because they're not loving their wife like they need to be loving her. They're not treating her like a lady. God says you're supposed to love your wife like He loved the church. If you don't, He says your prayers won't be answered. Isn't that awesome? How many of you men like to have your prayers answered? Amen. So what do you got to do? Love your wife. Hey, praise the Lord. You see, hey, boy, he just reached over and sucked his right over there, just cooled her right up to him. Praise the Lord. He wants his prayers answered, don't you? Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And 9 and 10. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise a blessing, knowing that you are therefore called that you should inherit a blessing. If you want a blessing, what do you got to do? Return evil for evil? When somebody treats you wrong, treats you mean, how do you return that? Love. You return evil, you return good for evil. And when you do, you get blessed. You get blessed. For he that will love life and see good days. Now, how many in here would like to love life and see good days? Okay, that's all of us, I think, men and women. For he or she that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know what that's going to take? You know, the best way I know to do that is when you get up in the morning, put at least a double layer of 2-inch duct tape right around your head. Now then you can't speak, so... If you can't say nothing, you might be able to get by with it a little better, right? But what do we have to do with this thing? We have to learn to control this thing? Yes, we do. I mean, no, you don't have to. But if you love life and see good days, you have to. So what does that mean if you don't control the tongue? Bad days, yeah. And you ain't going to have a good life. It's going to be terrible. And you won't even realize what's going on. But the Lord made that statement there. And then the 11 and 12, let's see what those last two say. Let him eschew or run from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now see, if you do evil, is he going to answer your prayer? Not at all. Not at all. That's for sure. Now let's go to Psalms 91, verses 1 through 16, and I want to show you again under the Old Covenant some things that are available. Now we're seeing under the Old Covenant the things that are available to us if we obey God. How much sickness did He promise us that we would have? None. Over and over and over, He said, if you obey me under the Old Covenant, you will have no sickness. I will take all sickness away from you. Well, let's go to another place under the Old Covenant, Psalms 91. He says here, he or she that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, I've come to realize we don't know what that means. What does it mean to abide under His shadow? You're doing it right now. He got His arm around you, sitting right there all snuggled up with you, and you're abiding right beside your husband. You are close. He's there to protect you. He's going to do everything. Now, that's the way God wants us to do it. She's also become very Amen. Praise the Lord. It pays good dividends. I mean, to obey God, is the dividends are out of this world, are they not?
I learned to submit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, when you learn to submit, you will have a happy husband. He will be a happy man. Because that's the way God made him. You know, sometimes the women have to learn, just like that scripture a while ago, you have to do what with your tongue? Put that duct tape around your mouth, right?
Right.
Instead of coming back at him or retaliating or saying something sharp to him or cutting him down, because that don't never work. And let me tell you, ladies, if you do that very much, that will make you sick. Guarantee it will bring sickness and disease upon you. You know, and I think about people, and I talk about how women, it does say in the Scripture that wives must submit to their husband in all things several times. And I've caught a lot of flack from that. You know, I mean, I've had people, especially women, write me letters and say, you know, but if my husband tells me to do something that's not godly, I can't submit to him. Like, he wants me to go to another church, and I couldn't do that because I've been in this church too long. And I have to write back and say, ma'am, Abraham and Sarah is the best example I know of. And Abraham told his wife two different times to go to another man's house. And she did it. I say, you know, that doesn't sound like godly to me. I said, if you were my wife and I told you, you go over to Bob's house and sleep with him tonight, would you do that? No, I wouldn't even think about it. But I said, if God told you to submit to me in all things and trust him, what's he going to do? He'll take care of you. That's exactly right. Now, of course, in one of the cases that whenever Abraham told Sarah, said, now don't you tell them you're my wife because they'll kill me. You tell them you're my sister. In fact, whenever the man says, if you're your sister, I want her to come to my house. Abraham said, okay. And so she went. She went to his house. And that night when the man is probably getting ready to go to bed with Abraham's wife, there was a voice spoke to him and said, you touch her sexually and you're a dead man. Now, would that get a guy's attention? That's Abraham's wife. He said, what? He didn't tell me. But since she obeyed her husband, God protected her. You see, when God says, wives, submit your husband in all things, girls, that's what he said. That's what he meant. He will deal with him. That's right. God will deal with the husband. And let me tell you, I don't care how big the husband is. God's bigger. He can take care of us guys. And so I think about the women that says, you know, I can't trust God. I can't trust him if my husband's not walking obedient to the word. I can't submit to him in all things. I got to do some things my way. I'm telling you, woman, you're in sin. You're in sin because you're not trusting God. I mean, if I see those cases in the Word of God where God protected Sarah because she totally obeyed, you know, then they both got to walk in divine health. He says, but here he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, if you're in God's Word, now guys, men are not good at this. And like I said earlier today, I've seen the biggest cancer killer for men is breaking the first commandment. Not putting God first in all things. And then number two, for men, is holding an unforgiveness towards someone. You hold an unforgiveness towards someone, I guarantee it will bring cancer to your body. And if you don't get that sin repented of, it will kill you. You cannot get healed of cancer. I don't care who the doctor is. You may go and get chemo, radiation. You may have surgery. You may get it in remission. But it will come back if you don't get rid of the sin. Now, I've seen many people healed of cancer. Many of them. And without surgery or anything, all they got to do is repent of their sin. And with women with breast cancer, we've seen numerous women with breast cancer healed when they get rid of their unforgiveness. And none of them had to have surgery. Some of them were healed instantly. So it's just amazing what God does for those that believe him. But if you will dwell with him right here, he said, if you'll do this, and then you'll say, in verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my God, in him will I trust. Well, today, they don't want you to say nothing about God. Don't you dare get up and pray in the name of Jesus. You're liable to offend somebody. Do you know you can't, in the school today, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus or mention the name of Jesus that somebody's going to try to put you down, but yet they are bringing into all of our schools requirements for you to learn Arabic and to learn the Quran. There's something wrong with us. that something wrong with us. Why is all this happening? Because we are doing nothing. The Christians are not doing what God told us to do. If we was on fire for Jesus and telling everybody about Jesus and we're out doing everything He told us to do, what did He say He would do with our enemies? He would make them flee from us in seven directions. So what does that tell you? We're not doing what He told us to do. But look at this promise. If you'll do those things, 1 and 2, let's see what verse 3 and 4 says. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Who is the fowler? The devil. He's going to deliver you from him and from the noisome pestilence. In other words, that's a raging epidemic, a terrible sickness and disease. What's God going to do if you make Him your dwelling place and you're willing to say, He's the Lord? What's the devil going to be able to do to you? Nothing. What is sickness and disease going to be able to do to you? Nothing. Isn't that amazing? That God made all these promises, and this was under the old covenant. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. In other words, you're standing on His Word. When you stand on His Word, there ain't nothing impossible with you. Boy, under the New Covenant, it even gets better. Verse 5 and 6. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. You know, we're not supposed to be afraid of anything, are we? As Christians, we're not to be afraid. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Is all this around us? Yeah. And see, he's talking about a spiritual battle here that's going on all around you every day. You know, you're literally walking through a war zone every day. Satan and his host of demons are out there shooting and killing people with their fiery darts and their arrows. And can it come near you? Not if you're walking obedient to his word. Absolutely not. Let's see what it says in verse 7 and 8. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Is that an awesome promise?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.